website, mytpl.info/summer-reading.
Great. Okay, so everyone will put that on the Facebook page so you can access it. Thank you to my guests from Kenosha Public Library, Heather Thompson, Head of Youth and Family Services, Marcia Sear, Head of Outreach Services, and Brandy Cummings, the Communication Specialist for Kenosha Public Library. This is WGTD Education Matters. Thank you for listening.
This program originally aired on June 27th, 2020.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Our topic today is help for families, children, seniors, and elderly citizens in our Tri-County broadcast area. Also, similarly, in northeastern Lake County, help is available. My guest is the executive director of one of the community-based, not-for-profit, independent local agencies that provide such help, much of it with donated resources. And of course, there are the Aging and Disability Resource Centers in all the surrounding counties as well. Good morning to you, Katie Oatsvall, Executive Director of the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services Incorporated.
Good morning, Len. Thank you for having me.
Katie Oatsvall came to KAFASI, as Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services is known, with impressive credentials. She holds a Master of Public Affairs that she's earned, and she's been through Leadership Racine. She's an experienced executive director with a history of working in civic and social organizations. Katie is skilled in nonprofit organizations, coaching, crisis intervention, government, and in conflict resolution, and we're very lucky to have her on the program and have her working for us here in Kenosha County. So, Katie, I know you don't run everything that's going on in all the counties in our Signal area, but you are very well aware of what the issues are. What's your assessment of how children, families, and elders are doing in our communities at this time?
Well, thank you, Len, for that wonderful introduction. You know, from our perspective at KAFASI and all of the other organizations and systems that we're interacted with, you know, times are tough for families and individuals, oftentimes even under the best of circumstances. And during a pandemic, in which we're concerned about health and safety and financial resources, it's made some of the key issues even more challenging than ever. So we've done our best, as with most of the resources in our area, to be at the forefront of those for individuals and families and our most vulnerable seniors as well.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about specifically the kinds of services that are in high demand now, and whether there's been a change in the demand that's been measurable at this point? We've been in this now since February, particularly hitting hard in March.
Absolutely. I'll speak broadly first. I belong in Kenosha County and in our region throughout Racine County and into Milwaukee. Some of that touching even south into Lake County. A part of a lot of our emergency groups that come together with our care transitions coalitions throughout the area. And so from a family aspect, we've been looking at, you know, how are we keeping kids and parents safe and healthy, and you know, making sure that they have enough to eat and that they're accessing education in a time in which, you know, schools have stopped being that community resource that is so vital and oftentimes a safety net for our kiddos. And then we've worked that all the way through, you know, the senior end of things, where, again, we're worried about nutrition and safety. And so as a broad community, we've had to worry about these things at large, and how that affects people's financial resources, like housing and access to care. And then as a local nonprofit, CAFASI, we've done our best to keep all of our programs available to people. We have had to be creative, like most of our nonprofit partners, in how we're going to look at things so that we can still provide what always were essential services. That word has taken on a different meaning now, but these essential services to keep families healthy and safe, but in a way that now keeps them safe from COVID in that process. And so we no longer have you know, face-to-face indoor group classes or things of that nature. But we at CAFASI have always been a community-based organization, meaning we bring services into people's homes. And we've been fortunate here, as, you know, the pandemic hit in spring and now we've moved into summer. And so we've been able to do some of that work still in people's areas, still in their home setting, yet being able to use, you know, the bounty of wonderful weather to provide those services. And now we're having to readjust yet again as we're going to go into colder months. And so I know I've said a lot, and I hope I'm answering your question, in that it's, I guess, the short answer to everything I've said is services are still out there, are still available to people, but we're just having to have people access them in a little bit different ways.
Now, I suppose that you're running into issues with connectivity through the internet with a large number of the constituents you serve. Is that the case, or am I imagining this?
Oh, you are not imagining this. So challenges exist all the way from even individuals or families who are skilled in using technology, right? We have more and more people utilizing things. And so sometimes there just are technological glitches that exist. You know, maybe you're not getting sound on your device, or you're not able to connect or find the right link, all the way through, I know at CAFASI, and we talk about our seniors that access aging services and classes and use it as a way to stay connected. We're working with people that for the first time are needing to use technology in ways that they haven't. So there's a large learning curve. So it's not only about services that we have used, it's about getting people to learn new ways to access services. I mean, many of you may have even experienced this as you've, you know, maybe moved your grocery shopping or your Target order online. Those are just new ways of approaching the world around us, and those new ways are evolving in social services all the time.
Well, that's a very good point. And the more vulnerable you are of any age, the more you need to be able to shop online and have things delivered if you can. So access to the internet at a reasonable speed, and access to understanding and having the devices you need to do so is very, very important. And I think that we're going to have to think a lot harder in the future about how we work with these constituencies, don't you think? Where can you, is there anywhere besides checking them out at the library that the senior citizens can get access to computers in Kenosha, or at the senior center, which now you can't get to in person?
Yeah, that is something that as a larger group we are looking at. CAFASI provides a program known as Sip and Swipe, in which we borrow laptops to our senior participants, and they get one-on-one instruction in how to, utilize that technology and the apps that go along with it. So that program used to be in a large class setting, and now we've had to move that to a one-on-one setting. But we do have a wonderful volunteer that will sit with our seniors and make sure that they are able to use the technology they have and access, you know, from keeping connected with family all the way through, you know, things like online grocery shopping or online connection. You know, you had asked earlier about capacity and volume, and that's a program that through CAFASI we have seen tremendous growth in, is our friendly visitor program, which keeps anyone 60 and older connected with a special friend so that they don't have loneliness or isolation, which we know in and of itself is so harmful, but can also cause ongoing medical conditions in other ways. And so we fight loneliness and isolation pre-COVID through actual physical visits. And since COVID, actually our capacity has been up about 40%, Len, because we are connecting with people through telephone is still a great resource. We have hundreds of volunteers who have agreed to step forward and are making at least weekly, if not more, calls to our most vulnerable seniors, making sure that they have everything they need, and then just keeping a conversation with them all the way through the evolution of this program, which has become known as our Senior Center Without Walls, meaning we're still bringing people together in groups. We're just not doing it within the confines of four walls. So for those who can, they're connecting in these large group conversations through telephone. And we're trying to move a lot of our participants into a Zoom format, which has been fun. We have to, you know, laugh our way through some challenges, but people are catching on, and we're accepting that this is going to be the new way that we're going to need to connect with each other, because we still need that connection. So programs like Friendly Visitor, as well as our nutrition programs, all the way through our parenting classes, have seen huge uptick in community need.
So this has shown us that we've been, in a sense, neglecting constituencies that we could have been reaching out to better by using the internet and the old-fashioned telephone. The Senior Citizen Center Without Walls Social is a teleconference. So all one has to do is just dial one of those toll-free 877 numbers and enter a simple passcode, and the information for that is on your website, and you're in. You don't have to have any new equipment. You could be using a rotary phone, right?
Absolutely. I guess I would, you know, the only follow-up I would have to that is, you know, I don't know that it's so much been neglect. These services have always existed. I think what we're seeing change in the landscape, Len, is that people, whether it's from our kiddos all the way through our seniors, hadn't felt in the past that they needed to connect with services. You know, there's oftentimes stigma that exists around a parent, you know, joining a parenting class, or a senior joining a support group. They have oftentimes felt that maybe for somebody else, but not for them. And now we are in the midst of a global pandemic, and some of that stigma has just dissipated. We realize that we all need support, and we all need connectivity, and we all need each other. And so for that, I am thankful for COVID. You know, I have seen some real challenges with it, but I've also seen a real reawakening to human connectivity that is wonderful. So I like to think that these services will continue to be utilized across all economic factors. You know, it's not just for our citizens who struggle the most. These programs are available across the community to anyone, because again, I had said it earlier, and those who work closely with me know I say it a lot. Life is hard, even under the best of circumstances. So that's why organizations like CAFASI exist.
Now, I want to first emphasize that the services we're talking about are available no matter where you're listening to this program in the really four-county area that our signal reaches parts of, and that there is also a network of organizations that are called Aging and Disability Resource Centers. And these, I'm going to mention exactly what they are and in terms of their website and so forth later in the program. But Katie Oatsville, could you explain to us from your vantage point running an independent agency, a not-for-profit that delivers for counties some of the services that they need to provide, what are the ADRCs, as they're called? What are the Aging and Disability Resource Centers that exist practically everywhere? And how do those figure into the picture for help that children, families, seniors, elders need? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. We are so fortunate in the state of Wisconsin and even in Northern Illinois to have, our counties provide the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. So whether it's Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Walworth, Lake County, anyone can call their local ADRC. And it really is, I think, one of the easiest ways to explain, you know, kind of your resource, your one-stop shop, your gateway to all services in your community. So you just dial that number, you're going to get a very helpful person on the other end that can walk you all the way through options counseling to long-term care services to similar questions like where you may best access pharmacy care based on your insurance coverage or lack thereof. And so these folks are trained in knowing all of the resources a community has to offer that are specific to your community. They save you from making 20 plus phone calls by making one phone call, and they have accurate on-time information really at their fingertips and are a great resource. So that's, in my opinion, one of the simpler ways to identify all an ADRC can do for people.
Now, Katie, if I understand it, if I were to call the ADRC, Aging and Disability Resource Center of Kenosha County, they might very well refer me to you.
Absolutely. So CAFASI, since you brought it up, we're very unique, and Kenosha County as a whole is really cutting edge in this way, in that they take services and contract with nonprofits. We really become the conduit, if you will, for all of Kenosha County's services. So not only does CAFASI physically have about 25 staff members who work at the Kenosha County ADRC. It would actually most likely be our staff you would get when you make that initial phone call. They are at the ADRC oftentimes referring. So in Kenosha County, it could be to CAFASI, it could be to one of our other partner programs. And same in the other counties we referenced earlier. They're using the community resources to make those referrals. Whatever your needs may be, they will get you where you need to go.
Now, in Walworth County, it's the Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC of Walworth County, and it's based in Elkhorn. And you can access it at WALCO ADRC. So for Walworth County, it's WALCO, WALCO ADRC, at co.walworth.wisconsin.us. And they have a toll-free number of 800-365-1587. And by the way, this program will be archived on the Community Matters website at wgtd.org. So you can find this information there, too, anytime you want to listen. Then there's an ADRC of Racine County, Wisconsin. Their toll-free number is 866-219-1043. And they can be emailed at adrc@racinecounty.com. And in Kenosha County, it's the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center with a phone number 800-472-8008. And that pretty much covers it. Now, Katie, getting back to you and CAFASI, Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, Inc., tell us, first of all, how we can help you financially. Because I know that your contracts with the county do not provide 100% of your direct cost coverage, nor does it provide really for much, if any, of the fact that you have to have a building and pay for telephones and put gas in people's cars to go visit and so forth. Tell us a little bit about the finances and how people can help financially. And then I want to also learn how people can help agencies like yours in every county, also with volunteer time and power.
Sure. Like you said, Len, there are so many costs associated with providing services that aren't necessarily the glamorous things that get financially supported. And so I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the fact that as a non-for-profit, we are so proud of the fact that CAFASI, like many of our partners, runs incredibly lean. We do a lot with very little. As an example of what I'm saying, we are about to launch a COVID-specific senior nutrition program called DIBS, Dinner in Boxes. And what it is a meal kit. Specifically designed for our senior friends because it is single to two-person portions. So oftentimes, as people transition later in life and families move away or they may be living alone, cooking in smaller portions is often a challenge for them. So we've created a meal kit that is specific to our senior friends and will really limit exposure because the box contains 2 weeks worth of lunch and dinner, as well as recipes created by a registered dietitian, and just fun things to prep those meals that are nutritious and meet our RDA requirements for that two-week time period. As you can imagine, the cost associated with that much food and the expertise that went into crafting it, all the way through the boxes we had to buy to put the meals in to deliver them, is about $150 per box. However, we are offering that to anyone 60 and older that calls our office and registers for a suggested donation of $25, meaning they can give more if they are so inclined. They can give the $25 or anything less than that, all the way to $0, because we don't ever want finances to be a barrier for someone who needs access to nutrition. And so that is just one really neat new thing we're doing, but a very tangible example of how we take something that has a price tag of $150 a box. We're offering it to our most targeted community members, right? COVID has been affecting our seniors more than anyone, and we're making it hopefully financially accessible, even if there is a donation involved, let alone for those who can't afford any donation. We need financial support always. As many nonprofits do, we typically rely on physical fundraisers. That is not possible this year, and it probably won't be possible for the better part of next year, and who knows what the future will bring. So we are asking anyone who can, as often as we can, to check out our website, which is KAFASI, K-A-F, like family, ASI.org. We have a PayPal donation button. People can mail donations into the office. And then, like many of our nonprofits in our area, we do rely on volunteers. So I know you had a question about that as well.
Yes, please tell us about that. And I think this is so important because you've made the point very well that just providing your normal services could cost double right now in order to ensure everybody's safety. And getting people out to volunteer can also be an issue because often many of our volunteers in this community are now considered the most vulnerable for the COVID.
You make an excellent point. It is exactly what we have faced over the last couple months. So KAFASI is a volunteer hub in Kenosha County. We have over 600 active volunteers. So we have 60 staff, but over 600 active volunteers that help us provide services. The average age of those 600 plus volunteers is 72 years old. So as you can imagine, as we went into February and then into March's shutdowns, we had to make the responsible decision at KAFASI and ask our volunteers to stay home. Not only for their health and safety, but for our clients' health and safety. And so from March through June, we had asked our volunteers to stay home. And now we have made precautions and procedure around being able to bring them back. And so our clients have been so happy to see their friends again. And our volunteers, as always, you know, feel great giving back. It gives them a lot of purpose in life. But why volunteering is so important to all organizations, especially those like KAFASI, I put the financial impact on it for you. We are in dollars and cents, we bring in just over $3 million to provide over 10,000 people services every year. However, because of our 600 plus volunteers, we provide Kenosha County over $4.5 million in services oftentimes. So what that means is that the hours that our volunteers are donating and giving their time and efforts to their community puts an additional $1 to $1.5 million in services back into our community. As an example, we could not afford to deliver Meals on Wheels in Kenosha County if it wasn't for our volunteers. They receive no stipend, no mileage reimbursement, no additional gas in their vehicles to go out every day, Monday through Friday, and deliver hundreds of meals throughout Kenosha County. If it weren't for our volunteers, we would not be able to offer that service. And so sometimes, and I get it, financially, maybe you just don't have the means to write that check or make that PayPal donation that we had talked about earlier. But it is just as important if you find yourself with an extra hour or two a week to donate that to help make our community a better place. So volunteers have a special place in my heart and many throughout our community. It's very important work.
And volunteering doesn't mean you just have to get into your car and go somewhere. It could also mean making phone calls to those who are shut in at home. And I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of checking in and making sure that your senior and especially your elderly friends and neighbors are in touch and feel that they have contact outside of their homes and that someone is asking after them and making sure that they have everything they need, because sometimes we get a little ashamed to ask for help. So I think that we all have a responsibility to check on each other. I want to encourage people to do that. And you could do that with your own family, of course, but you could also do it with your greater human family by working with organizations like Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, whose executive director we're talking to, Katie Oatswald. Now, Katie, most of the organizations that serve this constellation of children, families, and seniors in the whole listening area, and indeed across the country, provide very similar kinds of services. I wonder if we could take a few moments to just go into a few of them in a little more detail so people can understand what's available, because I'm not at all sure that the general public understands how many services are available to help families, for example, in our communities. Could you speak about that? And why don't we start with families?
Sure, absolutely. I think in Kenosha County, we do a great job of having a network of nonprofits, but I know that spills into the other listening areas as well. So support in parenting, to be using the best and most knowledgeable approaches. When you talk about ages and stages and being a nurturing parent, there are activities that exist. So to keep your kids social and physical, things like Boys and Girls Club and the Y. Then we also have, on the more nutrition, obviously. So we still have lunch and breakfast programs happening throughout our communities. And then where I was going a couple seconds ago is on that more serious side of things, where when we have kiddos with, potential abuse and neglect, we still have services out there ensuring safety and working with families. One of the things we do at CAFASI that people often don't realize is when there is, unfortunately, abuse or neglect in the home, people don't often realize that it is equally as traumatic for the child to be removed from that environment. So there are times where it's a non-negotiable. That must happen. The child must be removed. But oftentimes, agencies like CAFASI and our partners at PSG and Kenosha Human Development Services are called upon to go into the home multiple times a day and work with the family and identify safe supports within the family and the family structure. And we're able to keep the families unified and, most importantly, the kids safe. We have a 100% safety record when we use that approach with kiddos and their families. And most importantly, we're reducing excess trauma to the kids. So all these things, especially during COVID times, are still happening and still critical.
What about the less severe interpersonal issues that occur within families and the behavioral issues that can occur with offspring? And these can be of large range. Some of them could have a medical basis too, of course, as you know. How are those being handled, particularly now? Is there anything different in how you're working with people not being in schools? I know you work closely with school systems. What's going on with that? And how would people access services if they have problems that are significant, but not on that severe category that we were just talking about?
Sure, that is a great point, Lem. Our kiddos are in school. We work very closely with those systems, and we can identify oftentimes if sometimes our staff can go into the home and work with parents and create chore lists and a daily schedule with kids to oftentimes when school is in session, it's like to prevent truancy and make sure the kids are on time and developing those routines. We work with, you had brought up that oftentimes there is, behavioral or physical health sometimes behind behavior issues. And so we work with providers, therapists, medical systems, and we help the parents or the guardian connect with those services. Sometimes just those calls in and of themselves can be overwhelming. So having somebody to help you support and navigate that system is what CAFASI staff can do through our family services. And people can access that, which is known as our family support, or our parenting classes, which is anywhere from a 7 to 15 week class for parents. Right now we're doing it virtually, but it helps give tips and support and connections with other parents as well as our staff. And all those things can be accessed free of charge by just calling our offices, which is 262-658-3508. And just asking about our family service programming. It's available to any parent or guardian for things like I said earlier, creating schedules, checking in with where your kiddos are based on age and stage and, getting through the trials that are parenthood.
Are these free of charge?
They are, yes.
Now, what about memory programs? That's a feature that I see offered all around the area. What exactly is memory programs?
Sure. Well, I can speak to CAFASI's memory care programming, and that is, we had pre-COVID offered classes from early memory care. So just meaning you may be hitting a stage in life where you want to be proactive in your brain health. You want to make sure that you're exercising all parts of your brain to maintain or even enhance the brain health you still have. And so that's our Memory Masters program. All the way through, we have a dementia care specialist on our team. So she works with families and their loved ones in doing some initial assessment for people to kind of see where they're at in their memory and brain health journey. And then based on those assessments, she can work with the family, either identifying resources or providing them herself based on where the person is after that assessment. And then there are other resources in our community from medical doctors through therapy and even some of the adult day centers that, offer specialized memory care. So I think medically, we've been talking about brain health for a very long time and what that really means in being proactive around your brain health. And so that's everything from physical exercise through, challenging your brain every day and making sure, again, that you're having those human interactions. We also have a program, real quick, I want to mention, which is called Music and Memory. And so that right now is one of our memory care programs that is still available. So we've had to pull back on our in-class programming like Memory Masters, and some of the adult day centers have had to look at, safety as a first concern during COVID times. But Music and Memory is a program that is still available. And what that is you have a staff member from CAFASI work with either the memory care participant or their loved ones. The musical part of the brain is the last part affected by the disease. So you can oftentimes have amazing recall and just a calming effect for that person that's suffering from that disease by playing music, again, that is specific and individualized to that person. So we have playlists from, very, very subdued Glenn Miller waltz style music all the way through some pretty serious rock and roll, depending on the person. There are so many things that I know we all miss that COVID has prevented us from doing. But then there's some really cool things that have happened, where we've been forced to kind of reunite in some ways with, you know, being a little bit more homebound, being a little bit more family-centered, putting a focus on nutrition and our well-being. And I hope those things stay with us as we move into healthier times. Because, of course, I hope that there becomes a day a year from now where we don't have to live in as much fear as many of us live right now. And I hope that back to basics in some ways approach sticks with us. So I hope we see an uptick in, you know, donations to essential social services like at CAFASI. I hope we see an uptick in volunteerism to support essential services like we see at CAFASI. And then I hope that a year from now we are all safe and very connected.
I remind our listeners that these services for children, families, adults, seniors, elderly are available in every county wherever you're listening to this program. In Kenosha, the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services is an important piece, and everywhere in our areas, you have the Aging and Disability Resource Centers of each county. These are extremely valuable resources, and you'll want to access them to have an impact on your family, your community, your friends, and your neighbors. So remember, in Walworth, Racine, Kenosha, and Lake County, it's ADRC, Aging and Disability Resource Center. And in Kenosha, you can also contact our guest today, Katie Oldsfall's office, Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services. For Community Matters, this is Lenai Quinta, thanking once again Katie Oldsfall and CAFASI, and encouraging each of you to get informed and get involved in helping our community. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, find peace, beauty, and serenity during these stressful times with yoga at Hawthorne Hollow. Classes are health and wellness-based, intimate, and personalized. Taught by Pamela Grubb of Mindful Yoga, 262-552-8196.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring a new vendor, Boxcar Toffee, offering pecan, almond, Kit Kat, and coconut, available in both milk and white chocolate. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Douay.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
WGTD-FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn.
There are moments in life where we all must rise, where we all must answer the call. Join me, Austin Brandt.
And me, Tim Williamson.
On a new podcast from WGTD and Gateway,
where we highlight the tremendous sacrifices of emergency medical personnel. Subscribe to The Call, now on Apple and Google Podcasts.
Adults who've been out of school for at least 2 years and who've already earned at least 12 college credits may be eligible to finish their degree tuition-free. Workshops on Gateway's Promise to Finish program are being held online through August 24th. Call 800-247-7122.